Hymn number 326, omitting verse 1. Welcome to St. Columba's on this, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, for our service of Holy Communion. We welcome visitors who are joining with us. All of you are very welcome. And the creche and the Sunday school are now meeting as we speak down in the church hall. I want to thank all those of you who worked so hard to support our Harvest Thanksgiving services last weekend. It really was terrific to see so many parishioners involved in the preparations, involved in the worship, involved in the harvest lunch, and also involved in the distributing of many of the gifts that were used for decorating on Monday morning, where many of our housebound parishioners were able to appreciate and to enjoy gifts of harvest that were used here last Sunday. So to all of you go my very grateful thanks for your support, for your hard work, and for the great sense of fellowship that we all experienced and enjoyed last weekend. You will see that the amount raised at the harvest lunch is a wonderful sum, and in fact it is now over £1,400, which really is outstanding. I think that is a record, and the catering committee and all those who helped the catering committee have to be congratulated for organising such a delicious lunch last Sunday for all of us to enjoy in a packed hall. You see all the announcements for this coming week in the Pew News. Just a reminder, the deadline for the November Columban is Wednesday at tea time, and all articles please to the editor, Billy McAlpine, by then. Our service begins on page 201. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We worship you, we give you praise, we praise you.
call it for today the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Teach us to offer ourselves to your service, that here we may have your peace, and in the world to come may see you face to face, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have been hearing week by week Paul's reflections in prison. Now his mind turns towards the future. No worldly advantages compare with knowing Christ. That is, a deep experience of his renewing power. And Paul longs to know more and understand more, even though in this life such knowledge can only be partial. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 4b. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. takes the familiar metaphor of Israel as God's vineyard and turns it into a castigation of those with responsibility for tending it. All those whom God sent to guide and direct, even his own son, were reviled and rejected. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first. They treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Words from the Gospel. When the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees heard Jesus talking in parables, they realized he was talking about them. It doesn't require much thought or indeed time when reading the Gospel accounts to realize that Jesus, on many occasions, found himself in conflict with representatives of those in authority, notably religious leaders like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. They saw themselves as the guardians of the faith and accused Jesus of rocking the boat in challenging the status quo. Now, it's obvious that Jesus was no shrinking violet. Thankfully, those who revised the hymn book about 20 years ago saw fit to exclude that dreadful Victorian hymn designed to be sung by children, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child." For that seemed to suggest, to use an expression, that butter would melt in the mouth of Jesus. There's nothing meek or mild about the man who overturned the tables of the money changers and those who exploited the poor in the temple. Even if Jesus didn't always respond to the hypocrisy of others with such an angry outburst, He reacted regularly to those who challenged and criticized him in the words of a parable. In that respect, he was a subtle and engaging speaker. And that brings me to this morning's gospel passage. The parable, as we heard, describes a situation which was commonplace in Roman-occupied Palestine. A landowner established a vineyard and enclosed it with a fence and even with a watchtower. And then, like many, for example, in Ireland in the troubled years of the 19th century, he became an absentee landlord, returning to his own house in another country. Tenants were put in charge of overseeing the productivity of the vineyard. So far, so good. However, things began to unravel when the absentee landlord sent his servants to collect the rent. The tenants felt that they were getting a raw deal. The country was seething with economic unrest, and working people, like tenants, were discontented and rebellious. That situation was replicated not far from here in Newton Ards, where one of my predecessors as rector in the 1880s got into very hot water when he sided with the landlord during the Tenant Land League crisis. Things were far worse than that in the Palestine described in the parable, where the tenants not only sent the landlord's servants packing, but killed those who didn't flee quickly. Undeterred, the landlord sent more servants to collect the rent, and they received the same treatment, violent death. Eventually, the landlord decided to send his son to sort matters out, hoping that he would deal quickly with the dissenting tenants and their thuggish behaviour. And what happened? The tenants killed the son, thinking maybe that they would inherit the profits or the vineyard itself. Now, that's the story. But the parable has a deeply significant meaning, which may not be easily grasped by us all these years later, but would have been understood by the clever and wily religious leaders who were listening to Jesus. The vineyard is the nation of Israel. The landlord is God, who entrusted it to the cultivators, the tenants. Those were the religious leaders. The servants who were sent by the landlord God were his messengers or prophets, who were rejected and killed. The son who came last is none other than Jesus himself. It did not portray a pretty picture, whether taken literally or as a parable describing the state of Israel. The parable concludes, as we heard earlier, with the picture of a stone which the builders rejected and which became the most important stone in the building. The symbol is drawn from Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected is become the headstone of the corner. And that's something which St. Paul uses in his writings to describe Jesus himself as being the cornerstone. Remove that, and the whole structure could be in danger of falling. I'm sure that many of the religious figures with whom Jesus clashed were genuine, upright individuals. But the establishment and institution of which they were part was corrupt and obscured the message of God and his prophets. Religion, and this can apply in any age, religion had the effect of distorting the truth and not promoting it. Many of those at whom the parables were directed by Jesus may have been considered to have been pillars of society. But let me sound a note of caution here. Pillars can hold things up and obscure vision. The Christian faith proclaims that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I hope that we respect people of all faiths, and indeed of no faith. But it is in Christianity we believe, in Christ the living Lord, that we can find the clearest path to God. Ideally, the Christian faith should enlighten the mind, it should warm the heart, and it should fire the will. The role of the sermon and Bible study is to unravel the message of God, helping us to be better equipped to apply that teaching in daily life. While those of us who meet this morning to celebrate our faith in St. Columba's may be imperfect people, God help us if we think otherwise. If we approach the sacrament of Holy Communion in the spirit of Christian love, sharing the peace of the Lord with one another, then hopefully we'll be encouraged to go from this place to live and to work to the praise and glory of God. Of course, that may be easier said than done. One of the great figures of our faith in the early ages commented that we have to walk the dark ways of faith to obtain the vision of God. We live, as you and I realize, in a rapidly changing world. Those who profess to have a faith in this country, once renowned as the island of saints and scholars, we're in a minority, while those who practice their faith are even fewer in number. There can be significant differences of opinion amongst Christians about changes in society, be they social, be they economic, or be they ethical and moral. For example, the role and status of marriage, abortion, same-sex relationships, euthanasia. The role is endless, and it can be challenging attempting to interpret the mind of Christ in such circumstances. Sadly, very often, as we listen to people within the Christian church and community who take opposite points of view, the thing that can come through to me, and I hope I'm not sitting too much in judgment, can be lack of charity. Someone commented recently that when the church marries the spirit of the age, she finds herself a widow in the next. Now, I can understand a fear of change, for not all change is good and wholesome. But I suggest that we should take the words of the prayer in the familiar hymn, Sung to the Sky Boat Song, seriously. These words, Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love. That can be one very effective way of ensuring, I believe, that we understand, perhaps as well, if not better, than the religious leaders challenged directly by Jesus, what it means to seek the kingdom of God on earth, day by day. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son has worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
This morning we use the first form of intercessions. Almighty and ever-living God, hear the prayers which we offer in faith and love. For peace and for your salvation to be known throughout the world. Great and merciful God, you know the thoughts of our minds and the secrets of our hearts. By your life-giving Spirit, draw us into your presence that we may worship in the true life of your Spirit. Help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you. Make us receptive and open, that we may accept your kingdom and live in peace with you all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. For the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and for the unity of all Christian people, Lord, we pray for your church in every part of the world, for the great family of which we are a part. We pray for those who are denied freedom in their religious beliefs, and for all who struggle against injustice. We pray for our fellow Christians in the developing world, for whom hunger is a reality, and for those who feel powerless to change the ways of nature or the ways of nations. We pray for a church which can live with diversity, for a church which can welcome each and every one of us. May we be united in your love and strengthened in your presence. Lord, in your mercy. For all who serve and lead in your church, for bishops, priests, and deacons, encourage and lead them. Strengthen and protect them so that they may work to your praise and glory. We pray for Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and for all their families. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the parish of Drumbeg, for their rector, Willie Nixon, and for all who live and work therein. And in our Anglican cycle of prayer today, we pray for the Anglican Church in St. Albans in Canterbury.
Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
For all your people, growing in the faith of Christ and passing it on to generations yet to come. We pray for young people growing up in today's society. We ask, Lord, not that you will shield them from difficulty, but that you will give them the strength to face it. Not that you will protect them from making mistakes, but that they will be able to learn from them. Not that their lives will be easy, but that they will deal with its challenges bravely. Be with them when they are vulnerable, and keep them always in your love. Bless all members of our parish and strengthen them in your love, so that they may serve you faithfully to your glory. Lord, in your mercy. For all who live and work in this community, thank you, Lord, for the community in which we live, and for the skills and talents of all those who help to make it a safe and friendly place. We thank you for everyone who contributes to the work of our community and who helps in any way, great or small, to bind us together. May everyone who lives here feel welcomed and valued. Help us all to care for each other and to learn to be good neighbours. And here in St. Columba's, enable us to support people both within our parish and beyond, so that by love we may serve one another, for the sake of Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. For families and for those who live alone, we pray for the homes and family lives of all who are here today. Help us to care for each other and to take the trouble both to talk and to listen. Help us not only to forgive and forget, but also to be willing to apologize and to receive forgiveness. We thank you for the gift of families, for the joy and enrichment they bring to our lives. And we pray for those who are lonely, for those who find it hard to make friends, for those who feel rejected or isolated, for elderly people who miss their families and old friends, and for all who live alone. Be with them, Lord, and bless them all as each one needs. Lord, in your mercy. For all who are sick in body or in mind, and for those who care for them, Jesus, our healer, we place in your gentle hands those who are sick, whether at home or in hospital. Ease their pain and heal the damage done to them in body, mind, or spirit. Be present to them through the support of friends and in the care of doctors and nurses, and fill them with the warmth of your love, now and always. And we pray for all who have been bereaved. We remember in our prayers this morning the Irwin family following the death of Ruby last week. And we pray for all those in pain and suffering throughout the world. We think particularly of the families and friends of the victims of the shootings in America. We pray for those who have lost their homes and belongings as a result of natural disasters, and also for those who have fled from their homes and countries in fear and desperation. O God, you bring hope out of emptiness. Comfort these people in their sadness and keep them in your loving care. Lord, in your mercy. For all in authority, and especially for Elizabeth our Queen, and for all who have been entrusted with the responsibility of government. We pray for leaders and rulers throughout the world. Give them in their deliberations the wisdom to know your will, that they may seek to lead their people in the paths of truth, freedom, and peace. And we pray particularly for the politicians here in our own province. We pray that they can set aside their areas of contention and finally reach some type of compromise, and work together to achieve a more secure and united society for the people of this land. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
For those who work for peace, justice, and righteousness throughout the world. We pray for all parts of the world where there is war, conflict, and unrest. We pray for those who are working to improve international relationships, for all who try to bring aid and relief in war-torn countries, and for those who risk their lives for others. Lord God, let us seek no other peace but the peace which is yours, and make us its instruments, opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts, so that we always know what work of peace we may do for you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of your holy apostles and martyrs, and of all your servants departed this life in your faith and fear, we commend ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Lord Jesus, the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Almighty, never-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel, commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church, and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, So we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our guide, you feed us with bread from heaven as you fed your people Israel. May we who have been inwardly nourished be ready to follow you all the days of our pilgrimage on earth until we come to your kingdom in heaven. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Love and serve the Lord.